This is Pastor Mike, and I want to welcome you to CD7, entitled What Happened to America? I think many people who have studied end time prophecy have been concerned about what role America plays in end time prophecy, since she, in fact, is not named in Scripture. But let me remind you that God has a purpose and a plan for America as it pertains to end time prophecy. Sit back and listen at what role we play when it all comes to an end. Stand for the reading of God's Word. What a delight to see you in the house of God. If you're physically able, please stand. This is an honor to the Lord. If you walked in here, you can stand. I'm waiting. Praise God. I want to say we had a wonderful day yesterday. We were able to celebrate Brother Hudson and Lynn and Jan, his wife, 50th wedding anniversary. Wow. I tell you, they were babies when they got married. What a wonderful day it was. Psalms 33. We're going to just read one verse. Verse 12. Praise God. I wish our politicians would get a hold of this verse. I wish every government official, every school principal, anyone who has any influence on anybody, I wish they would read this verse. This is one of the most powerful statements that God has ever made to a nation. We need to embrace it. We need to believe it. We need to practice it. It is our custom to read together, so please join me in the reading of verse 12. When you're there, you're excited about God's word, shout, I am.
I am.
Let's read together. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own. Let's read it again. Now let's read it a little bit louder this time so maybe somebody outside can hear. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen. May God add his richest blessings to his precious word. Thank you for sharing with me. You may be seated. Today we are on part 7 of an 8-part series that I've been preaching now, entitled What You Don't Know Can Kill You. At the conclusion of next week's sermon, which is the final sermon, you don't want to miss next week. This is a killer. We're going to have some high church. But we will be preparing packets of all 8 CDs, put them together in a nice presentation packet, and you will be able to purchase those. And I ask you, please, if you know anyone who doesn't know Jesus, family member, friend, whoever, I ask you to get one of those packets. We're going to make them very reasonable. All we want to do is just pay for the supplies. But I want you to buy those, as many as you can, and take them and give them to someone. I know some of you have bought individual CDs, but really, they need to hear the whole series. If you'll buy the whole series for them, they'll listen to it. We'll have those available in the next couple of weeks. There are 3 questions that I want to address today in this week's sermon. First, why has God blessed our nation above all others? Secondly, what is God's plan for America? And number 3, what is America's place in end time prophecy? As most believers, it is a discouraging and disgraceful thing for me to hear and witness the liberal thinking that has invaded our country. This concept of separation of church and state has become an incredibly volatile issue. And regardless of what side you are on, the pendulum seems to swing to the extremes. It's almost impossible for both sides to find some sort of balance. Personally, I do not want government telling me what I can or cannot believe in as it pertains to my faith. And if you remember that is why our forefathers came to this land to begin with. They came here to escape religious interference from governing bodies. Now, on the flip side, our government is based on a set of laws that are in place to maintain structure and order. And even though there are sound biblical principles that deal with the moral fiber of society, it is not religion's place to tell our elected officials how government should be run. Hear me. We should rely on sound Bible principles when choosing our candidates. America is not a theocracy. It is a democracy and must be operated accordingly. However, let me be clear about this. Throughout our history, we have seen America's leaders turning to God instead of away from God for guidance. It has been part of our past and hopefully part of our future. We have all seen the painting of Washington kneeling in the snow at Valley Forge asking for guidance. At the First Continental Congress, time was taken out for the founding fathers to actually kneel and pray before beginning their sessions. We have heard the stories of Abraham Lincoln praying in the hour of national crisis. Woodrow Wilson reading his Bible late at night by the White House lights. President Washington summarized his feelings about our national dependence on God by stating, and I quote, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of man more than those of the United States." End of quote. Clearly, my friends, America did not become the land of the free and the home of the brave by blind fate or a happy set of coincidences. A loving God, hear me, a loving God was hovering over this nation from her very conception. And we are blessed, regardless what anybody says, we are blessed because of our dependence upon God. There is not one person under the sound of my voice who is unaware of the rising tide of voices that would choose to remove the words "under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance. For those who do not know or remember, those two words, "under God," were inserted into the pledge in 1954, partly to distinguish our nation from the atheistic communism of the Soviet Union. And even though that event took place decades after the founding of our country, which was some 200 plus years ago, it certainly reflects what has been a part of America's heritage from the beginning. For example, in 1776, General George Washington wrote to his army, and I quote, The fate of unborn millions will now depend under God on the courage and the conduct of this army. 100 years later, at the consecration of a military cemetery at Gettysburg, Virginia, President Lincoln said this: "We are highly resolved that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth." Hear me this morning, my friends. When America turns from its position of being under God, we can no longer expect His blessings on this nation to continue. Are you hearing me? The lifeline will be broken. One of the greatest reasons we are blessed above all nations is because of our passion to provide missionaries, money, material aid to less fortunate people around the world. Did you know that 75% of all missionaries have come from America? Right now, 5% of all monies given by this church to the state and international offices is used to spread the gospel around the world. Nearly $25 million a year is given by the Church of God people to make sure that no one, no matter where they are, will not hear the glorious news of Jesus Christ. We are currently active in 181 countries around the world. Can you give God praise for that? In the aftermath of World War II, Americans started 1,800 mission agencies and sent out more than 350,000 missionaries. Because of American efforts, today 95% of the world's population have access not only to some portion of Scripture in their language, but also to Christian radio, TV, film, and audio recordings. Another reason we are blessed above all nations is because America has been a friend of the Jewish people. While other nations were turning Jewish immigrants away, America opened her borders to a displaced people, and today Jews make up 3% of the total population of America. In our borders, they have been given opportunity for economic, educational, and cultural advancement without fear of losing their religious freedom. Former President Truman let it be known that because of his lifelong belief in the book of Deuteronomy, he was determined to recognize Israel as a modern state. Hear me. It is no accident, my friends, that God promised in Genesis chapter 12 that He would bless those who bless Israel, and He would curse those who curse Israel. You see, through the power of the vote, we must never allow those in Washington to violate this principle that has brought us to the blessings of God. Another reason we are blessed is because we are a free nation. Isn't it amazing that when you study the Scriptures, freedom and Christianity are connected? John wrote, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Hallelujah. When you consider that 54% of the world's population do not live in freedom, I declare to you this morning that we are a people who are most blessed. Hallelujah. We have learned, as a bastion of freedom, that liberty without law is anarchy. Liberty to defy law is rebellion. But liberty limited by law is the cornerstone of civilization. From the beginning of time, it was in God's plan that all men should live in freedom. America is the paradise of human liberty. It is a great oasis in a global desert of trouble, suffering, repression, and tyranny. And brothers and sisters, if you hear nothing else I say today, you hear me now. We must protect our freedom at all cost. You see, there is a constant danger of our freedom being eroded from within. For the first time in history, some 300,000 people a year are choosing to leave this country and move somewhere else. Most of this exodus is due in part to the degenerating character of America. If we allow our morals, our principles, the ideas that made our nation great to continue to deteriorate, we can hardly expect Almighty God to continue His blessings upon us. I guess one of the hardest things for most students of Bible prophecy to accept is the fact that America is not mentioned in Scripture. Matter of fact, there is no mention of any country or state in North or South America. One of the reasons may be is that as a nation, we are only 250 years old. We're basically the new kid on the block, much younger than any other nations found in Scripture. As we have discovered in our series, most last day prophecy deals primarily with the Holy Land and her immediate neighbors. So does it mean that since America is not mentioned in end time Bible prophecy, that we are not a part? I hardly think so. How could the most powerful nation in the world not play a part in last day prophecy? Though there is no one simple answer, let's look at what some of the best thinking minds of prophecy have to say. Prophecy expert John Wolford wrote that he believes we will be incorporated into the European coalition. We all know that when we have called for allies, European countries have come to our aid. So it seems only fair that when the 10 European nation coalition comes to power, they will ask for our support and we will give it. Although we may not be mentioned by name, we will be part of the mix of political realignments that will foreshadow the end of time. If you remember, in April of 2007, then sitting President George Bush welcomed the President of the European Union to the White House. There is a strong belief in Washington that the closer we become with our European partners, the better off we will be. Now, I know that some believe that this union is only for the purpose of establishing free trade between our countries. But hear me when I tell you, more is at stake than just free trade. As these powers come together, they are bracing for the potential of military threats from outside forces. Another reason for the silence of Scripture concerning America is the belief that by the time the tribulation period arrives, which will follow the rapture of the church, that America will have lost her influence in the world and will no longer be a major player. In studying the Scripture for many years, this has been my belief, that there is a strong belief that because of America's inability to close the gap between supply and demand as it pertains to oil, this will cripple our ability to defend our borders and protect our nation. Listen carefully. With the attack on the World Trade Towers, it became quite evident that because we are a free nation with an open border policy, we are more susceptible to attack than any other nation in the world. Hear me. Just one nuclear explosion in America, killing millions of people, and we could be reduced to a second-rate power overnight. This big stick that we once carried, I'm talking about the atomic bomb and nuclear capability, is now carried by nations who could care less whether America lives or dies. Just place one nuclear warhead in the hands of radical Islamic terrorists and we could be wiped off of the face of the earth. Another reason given for America not appearing in Last Day Prophecy is that she has become infected with moral decay and self-destructs. Do you know that the average lifespan of all the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years? In the words of my grandmother, we are living on borrowed time. There seems to be a natural progression that leads to a nation's demise. You want to hear what they are? First of all, they go from bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. From courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. From abundance to complacency. From complacency to apathy. From apathy to dependence. And from dependence back into bondage. I ask you this morning, at what point is America in this cycle? In the epic, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, author Edward Gibbons says that one of the reasons for that great civilization's demise included the undermining of the dignity and the sanctity of the home and the decay of religion. My Lord, is there any doubt that America is a civilization on the decline? Dr. Carly Zimmerman identified 11 symptoms of final decay. In his book, Family and Civilization, are you ready? Listen to this. Here is what is causes decay in a country, in a nation. Number one, no-fault divorce. Two, birth dearth, increased disrespect for parenthood and parents. Meaningless marriage rights. Defamation of past national heroes. Acceptance of alternative marriage forms. Widespread attitudes of feminism, narcissism, hedonism, the pleasures of life. Number one, increase of anti-family sentiment. Rebellious children. Number nine, increased juvenile delinquency. Number 10, acceptance of most forms of adultery. Number 11, common acceptance of all forms of sexual perversion. If in fact this list is accurate, if in fact what she says is true, we are throwing away our most treasured position as the most blessed nation in the world. Arthur Mike Evans made this statement. Prayer has been excised from schools, and might I add, most churches. Lawsuits have been filed to force Congress to remove Under God from the Pledge of Allegiance. Displays of the Ten Commandments have been removed from public buildings. And the motto, "In God We Trust," is in danger of extinction. Teachers have been forbidden even to carry a personal Bible in view of students. Christian literature has been removed from library shelves. Religious Christian carols have been banned from school programs. And spring break has replaced Easter vacation. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. Our greatest danger is not from invasion by foreign enemies. Our danger is that we may commit suicide from within by compliance with evil. I ask you now, will you, as a believers, allow this infection into your life. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Somewhere, at some point in time, we must stand up and declare that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Someone has to make a stand. And finally, another belief is that America will be impotent because of the rapture. If the rapture were to happen today, and all true believers in Jesus Christ disappeared into heaven, America would be obliterated. Literally millions of its citizens would leave and exit planet Earth. This not only means that the country would lose at a minimum 25% of her population, but she would lose the very best of her population. I'm talking about the salt and light that the Bible refers to. Can you imagine the chaos that will hit this country when godly people are removed? Can I tell you that as a father, a brother, a son, a pastor, there are times when my emotions are like a roller coaster. As a believer, I long for the day when Jesus will come back. Can I just declare this morning that there are no attachments to this world that I am willing to let go of in order that I might see Jesus in the clouds of glory? I have literally waited all of my life to see Jesus, to see the fulfillment of His promise. But can I just tell you that my heart is broken when I think of the friends, even family members that may be left behind when the rapture takes place. Although I face the future with confidence, my heart aches for those who have no future without God. That's why I'm so glad that I serve a God who knows the end from the beginning, who has willingly let you and I in on the eternal secrets that tell us of His coming. As the song says, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know that this present moment will not compare to what the Lord has in store for His people. I'm glad I know that my trust is not in governments. It's not in civilizations. It's for sure not in cultures. All of these will at some point in time crumble. History bears that out. But I'm glad that my hope is built on Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm glad that my foundation is the one who stands above all institutions, who stands above history and even time himself. I'm glad I serve the one by whose power and permission all things exist. I'm glad this morning that Jesus saved me and He keeps me and He's coming back for me. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that even though I don't truly understand or know everything that the future holds, I know who holds my future. Oh my God, if you could look inside my heart this morning, you would see a heart that weeps for your soul, that cries for God's mercy upon your life. I declare to you this morning, if you're sitting in this house and you don't know Jesus, you better quit messing around. You better get your heart right with God today. Can I declare to you that out of this precious book right here, there is not one prophecy yet to be fulfilled that would prohibit Jesus from coming back to planet Earth. He could come before we leave this building today. And I declare to you, somebody said to me a while back, an unsaved person said, I've heard that same message for 50 years. And I love the response of his brother. That just means we're 50 years closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And despite what you may believe, this morning, Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. More than anything, I want you to be ready. Please, for God's sake, don't let Jesus come and you not be ready. You'll be lost. Forever separated from those you love, those you have known. You can come to church after we're gone, but it won't make any difference. Because when we leave, the Holy Spirit leaves with us. There'll be no conviction of the Holy Spirit. Only fear and dread, chaos, turmoil. People running to hide themselves from the face of God. But you can resolve it all today. You can make sure before you leave this house that Jesus lives in your heart. How do you do that, Pastor? Oh, it's so simple. You just simply invite him into your heart. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And he said, I will in no wise ever cast you out. But I will forgive you and I will redeem you and I will be your God and you'll be my people. America is in crisis. Our world is in crisis. But thank God for a God who sits on his throne, who's still in control. And to God be the glory and the honor and the praise forever. And forever. Oh, if I had some redeemers in here that helped me give God praise right here, right now. Come on, lift your voice. Praise the name of the Lord. Would you stand with me, please? I want to sing that chorus, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. I want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus, today's the day. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Allow Jesus to come into your heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed. One person to say, Pastor Mike, that's me you're talking about. I was a Christian once. I did serve the Lord once, but things happened. Something happened. Situations developed. Problems happened. Crisis. Addictions. Something separated me from God. But today, I want to come home. I want Jesus living in my heart again. If that's you and you need to pray that prayer, raise your hand right now. I'm going to pray with you. Come on, just raise it up quickly and put it back down. I want Jesus to come into my heart. Yes. Come on, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Jesus, I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus in my life. I want to know that I'm ready when Jesus comes. Is there one? Just one.